it's so interesting with money because just like sex, everyone kind of wants more of it or is supposed to want more of it, but we're not supposed to talk about it. So I love talking about money. And ultimately, it's the same thing because we're just talking about energy here. And we're talking about tuning more deeply into our energy source, which and our energy receivers, which are our bodies.
What up, Brave People fam? If you are new, welcome. I'm your host, Dr. Neetha, and this is your oasis, your destination to be all things just a little bit more brave. Brave in your actions, in your relationships, and in your life. And today, wow, do we have a juicy, juicy episode for you. I would like to know first, what is your relationship with your cycle? Because we are diving into all things about how to actually embrace cyclical living with my girl, Mama Bear, and podcast show host, Kate Northrup. Now, if you haven't heard about Kate or her books or her work, she has been in feminine leadership and the queen that talks about money in her work. But today we talk about her newest book, and that is Do Less. Yes, permission. Permission mamas, permission queens for you to do less and how to actually embrace your menstrual cycle. And not just in the ways that we currently embrace it, but actually what diets to have, how to plan your day, how that differs between men and women, how we can actually nurture and nourish ourselves, and how to be there, and how it actually benefits everyone around us if we start living through our cycles. She's also the podcast host of her newly and recently rebranded podcast called Plenty, and she's just a joy to listen to. So in today's episode, we dive into a lot. Kate shares her latest in terms of just family dynamics and how sometimes adversity can really transform a family unit and how everyone grows as a result. And she talks about the principle of her 80-20 rule and what it actually means in this stage and arena of her life and how to optimize your time while doing less. And we also talk about the benefits of cyclical living, meaning the stages of each of our phases of our menstrual cycle and how we can catapult that energy so that we are in turn doing less as a result. And we also get into any challenges that as mothers, caretakers, that we often face when we're either taking care of our elders or our spouses or unforeseen circumstances that come up and how to actually take care of you in the process. And not only that, Kate is one of our trainers in our behind the scenes insiders community. So if you're curious about her, you can go ahead and listen to her behind the scenes as an insider for free. But without further ado, let's welcome Kate Northrup to the Brave Table this week.
Life's moments come with their ups and downs, but every experience is an opportunity for growth and connection. Introducing our very popular That Sucked, Now What? Specifically crafted 44-prompt conversation card deck and our 52-card deck of affirmation cards designed to transform your relationships with brave conversations and interactions in your life. Imagine peeling back the layers of everyday conversations to reveal deeper, more meaningful connections. Our conversation cards are your key to unlocking stories, laughter, and understanding among friends, family, or even just going a little bit deeper. And now with our affirmation cards, start every day with a positive nudge. 52 powerful affirmations to remind you of your boldness, your unapologetic resilience, and your worth. A simple practice that can dramatically shift and change your perspective and uplift your spirit in your day-to-day. Now, these are not just cards. They are gateways to deeper self-growth and self-understanding and brave conversations. Whether it is for yourself or a thoughtful gift, head over to thatsuckednowwhat.com. That is thatsuckednowwhat.com and grab your bundle today. Now back to the show.
Hey, welcome. Hi. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Today's a special day because, you know, my kiddo has started kinder and you have a kindergartner at home.
I do.
And so I want to get into, because I've loved the evolution of your work for so many years, and how has it been in this season and stage of life, braving motherhood?
So my girls are 5 and nearly 8.
Wow.
And so they're not like little anymore in this really interesting way. And now we're getting into all kinds of sassiness and funniness. And I'm wondering like, oh no, did the window close? You know, they say they're kind of cooked after seven. And I'm like, did I do enough? Did I do enough of a good job? Is there anything I need to like shove in there in the last 2 years before my youngest one? So I have a lot more freedom and flexibility, I will say. Okay. I watch people with toddlers and babies now. And
do you make
like,
fun of us now?
God damn, that's hard.
You're like, I don't want to be there at all.
No, I don't. And I think it's still not super helpful to tell moms of young little ones, it gets so much easier and savor every moment. I'm like, can you not tell me either of those things? Not helpful. Just like offer to hold my bag. Yeah. But anyway, braving motherhood right now. I mean, I really just think a lot about my girls like turning into young women and asking myself, what do I want to teach them? What do I want to model? How can I instill in them a trust in their bodies and enough information to keep themselves safe and empowered? So that's what I'm thinking about.
I mean, I think about those constructs of the advice that women, you know, like were telling me or weren't telling me. And I'm like, well, I kind of wish somebody kind of prepped me.
But I just feel like there's nothing. I remember this moment so profoundly. So I have this cousin who's like my sister.
Okay.
And I was saying goodbye to her and her giant belly. And I knew she would go into labor like at any moment. And I knew that the next time I saw her, she was going to be on the other side of that threshold. And I just like knelt down and I kissed her belly. And I was like, I love you. You've got this. Because anything I could have told her about my birth experiences or my motherhood experiences may or may not have been helpful because the landscape is vast and like I didn't want to freak her out. But at the same time, you know, other than I will just say like across the board, I think we can agree that we all need to get more help than we think we're going to need.
Yeah.
Which was shared with me by my friend Sarah Jenks.
Right.
And I didn't listen to her and I should have.
100%. Wait, so you did you brave all those years without support?
I wouldn't say without support.
Okay.
That would be not like, accurate.
Wow.
But I did not have enough support until my littlest was 2.5, 3. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So I did like 5 years like on crumbs of support. I don't know what was wrong with me. We can talk about that. But and then like I finally have enough support now. And
okay.
My girls are 5 and almost 8.
I mean, that's huge. It's huge. Okay.
That was a hard lesson for me to grasp.
So I was at the drop-off this morning and there's moms who, this is like this is their first time with their kid going off to like a full day or anything. And I didn't realize that because we've been putting Ari in something ever since he was like, I don't know, 16 months old.
Cool.
Right. And so it was a big emotional day. And I was just sharing with you before we started that I'm like, I don't even know if I've processed a lot of the emotions. Yeah. It's kind of like in there. But yeah, I guess when you just said like, well, I don't know if they're cooked enough because they're cooked at like 7.
I mean, I don't know if the data is accurate on that, but you know what they say about human development and that basically like, the stuff that shapes the most of who we are happens before the age of 7. And I mean, then there's, of course, there's some evidence that it happens like pre-verbally. So like, whatever, that's done. You know, I was talking about this with a girlfriend last night who has kids the same age. And like, basically we agreed. I'm curious if you agree with this. But if you're asking yourself if you're a good enough parent, you are.
There you go. We're all in agreement.
Great.
No, it's done. I love that when you came out with Do Less, take us through that time of life because I feel like I'm there.
Yeah. Okay. So Do Less came out in 2019. My baby had just turned 1. My big girl was 3.5. And 1 year prior, my husband had gotten so ill that he dropped 40 pounds in 1 month and couldn't stand up for more than 2 minutes at a time. And we had a 6-month-old, I had a toddler. And so 6 months before that book came out, we were suddenly in a time when I run my company also with my husband. So I was there like needing to run the company alone, essentially parent alone. as I had told you, I had duct taped together childcare and I was still going with that strategy.
Yeah.
And so I'd already written Do Less. I had already sent it into the publisher, you know, 6 months before a book comes out, no more changes.
Yep.
And I had actually submitted the final manuscript before I gave birth to my second daughter. And it was so interesting to go through that period of having an extremely ill spouse and suddenly like having half of my support system completely down for the count, which is, you know, my husband, and really needing to like turn to my own strategies as, you know, it's one thing to write about something and be like, this is a good idea and I mostly do it. And then it's another, it's another thing to have to like turn to it as my only option. And yeah, so that was what was going on. So I was 6 months out of that. Mike was getting better enough that I could travel for the book launch.
Oh my gosh.
And he was re-engaged in the business. So that was great. But it was really intense and such an odd... I mean, I do think that we, our material chooses us.
Yeah.
Because it's like our assignment. Mm-hmm. And so my assignment continues to be learning how to make the most of the time and energy I have and also continually learning to become a master of energy so that when life is very intense, which it is for so many of us for so many reasons, whether it's a new baby, going through a divorce, moving, a pandemic, an illness in the family, whatever it is, and you know, possibly a chronic illness that you might have yourself, mm-hmm. we just all have these moments where our capacity is limited. And so how can we live fully with limited capacity when there's a lot on our plate that is like earthy stuff, not like necessarily stuff that we consciously chose,
right?
But like
real stuff.
Oh, like I broke my leg or I got hit by a car, like the things that sort of more choose us as life circumstances.
Oof. And with, I mean, because Do Less is such a powerful, powerful title, powerful assignment. And that's where I'm like, okay, I'm so hooked because I feel like for you, kind of watching you over the years and kind of how you've evolved in so many ways, how is this now? And what were some of the things that you then, that just became part of like your daily, especially during what I would like to call like a really big suck time?
It was a really big suck time. And then I will just update to say that it happened again in January 2021. And then 5 months later, my husband broke his knee and also couldn't walk. And then 18 months later, he got hit by a car.
Stop it.
So since Ruby was born, my littlest, so in the last 5 years, Mike has been like either severely ill or not able to walk for it most of the time. So anyway, God is funny. It's just like, okay. So basically, I think we all need to be doing this regardless of how intense. I'm not in nearly as an intense season now. Like things are really beautiful right now. And so I'm very grateful for that. And I also know that like things are in flux at all times. We never know what life is going to bring.
Yeah.
And so number one, I mean, this is just super practical, but you got to know your 80-20. You got to know what are the 20% of activities that get me 80% of the results in my business. From a revenue perspective, in my marriage, with my children. Like, for example, for me, I am well aware that some sort of like perfect decor situation in my children's bedroom, for example, is not like I look in my kids' bedroom and I'm like, it looks like a Barbie Lego bomb went off in here. And I just, and like all the tiny little things, and
pieces.
I don't know how to manage all their tiny things. And I sometimes can feel myself going down the suck hole of like, this is a problem in my life. This is a... And then I'm like, no.
Right.
No. Because 80% of the results in my parenting, which is a feeling of connection with my children, does not come from perfectly organized Legos and Barbie shoes.
Ooh.
It does not. So I just know how to stop myself when I go down the road of essentially leaking my energy into something that is not going to get me the results. Which is not to say that for somebody else, perfectly organized Legos wouldn't get them the results. It's individual. So I know for myself in my business, for example, you know, like I popped in here to Austin to record this with you and another podcast today. Some people might be like, you're getting on an airplane to fly in and out of Austin for 24 hours. And I know that the 20% that gets me 80% of the results in my business and in my level of joy and satisfaction with life is showing up in real life. Like, it always is a win. It always, 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 always. So 80-20, you got to know that.
Yep.
As you know, I'm really big on cyclical living and knowing where we are in our menstrual cycle or with the lunar cycle if you're nursing or pregnant or had a hysterectomy or menopausal, whatever. Yep. But we are cyclical creatures as women. And knowing that we have these four distinct phases of energy throughout the month, and when we can capitalize on them and use the energy that we're actually in, as opposed to trying to be a different way than we are, like, it is a superpower. It is a superpower. Okay. So those two things for sure.
And to kind of even bridge like everything that was going on with your husband at that time.
Come back to him.
Yes. Because I mean, that's a, I'm sure Brave Table fam, you're like, wait, how the heck did she manage all of that? And did you then lean on your, you know, the 80-20 and the cyclical moments
during that? Well, you know, you've had newborns, right?
Yes.
And you know how it's just like, you get to the end of the day and you're like,
Buster.
Like, did I even brush my teeth? I mean, I literally have been up for 100 hours. Like, I've done nothing other than keep this human alive, which is actually the most important job we have.
Right.
And it's plenty. It's like plenty to do that. Mm. So pressure can be a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about pressure because I've recently learned it doesn't serve me so much. But at that time, because if I didn't figure out how to work with the limited capacity I had, I wouldn't have been able to pay my team or my mortgage or feed my children. You know, I just had to figure it out. And so that's a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a blessing because I think without those responsibilities, I would have probably just been curled in a ball on the ground. And there is a lot to be said for that. And I did do some of that. And I did a lot of screaming into pillows in my closet.
Yes, good. There
so
you
there's
go.
Nothing wrong with letting the emotions flow and being honest about how hard it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, you talk about this a lot, right? Like turning our mess into like alchemizing. What can I learn from this? How can I? And not to say that everything happens for a reason and not to spiritually bypass, but just to really look at our life as an assignment and to say, okay, well, this is happening. And I used to, unfortunately, I grew up in a household where the presiding belief was, on some level, our souls choose our illnesses. So not to say that we ever consciously choose them, not to say, and you know, we could have a whole conversation about the degree to which I now believe this. So I'm not saying this is fact. I'm just saying this was the prevailing belief in my childhood.
Right.
So then I get this sick husband who also keeps getting injured. And I was like, why does your soul keep choosing this? Like, why does your soul stop? And he was like, I mean, he was in so much pain and like so much discomfort. And he was like, Kate, I am obviously not choosing this. And I was like, but your soul is. Not helpful to anybody. However, I had to start to realize like, oh wait, I'm also here. So if I'm going to go down this line of reasoning, which is that his soul chose this, I need to see that mine did too. And if I chose it because I also too am here and this is happening in my life as well because our lives are intertwined, like what is here for me? So instead of just sitting around resenting him, and wanting his soul to stop choosing this, like I could just get on board and say, okay, how can I live with this? Like, how can I not even, because then on his most recent thing, which was in October of 2022, when he got hit by a car, I realized we needed to stop. So in all the previous illnesses and accidents, it had been like, okay, when he's better, we can XYZ. And I just said, you know what, babe? He was in the hospital. He had these two surgeries, this whole thing. And I was like, I think that we just need to figure out how we're going to live our dreams with this, not when this is over. And so that was a really big shift for us.
Oh, that's powerful. That's powerful. Because I feel like so often we think we just have to delay and delay and delay.
Yeah.
And you have like the most incredible sense of humor around all of it. Which, I mean, because,
seems
I mean,
like
that's who you
option.
Are. Because that's who you are, which I love. So I'm so glad that you're now in Miami living that dream life.
Yeah.
And with your two, and he's doing a
he's
lot better.
He just like has the slightest limp. So it just looks like he has a little swag when he walks across.
Little sexy swag. There you go, Kate. There you go.
Yeah.
And so I got so obsessed with the cyclical timing of things after I had my second child. And, you know, she's a little baby girl. And so for me, also knowing that there's not very much time in the day to get all of the things done. And I would, you know, beat myself up with all of the to-dos. And then I started to kind of follow a lot of the things that you were putting out. I'm like, okay, yes, first she says do less. And then it's, you know, capitalize and seize the time. So for somebody that's coming into this that like doesn't even know anything, start us off with the basics.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Great. So the basics are just like the planet Earth, just like the moon, just like, you know, everything in nature, we have four seasons. And as women, when we're in our reproductive years, these four seasons are aligned with every month with our menstrual cycle. So we have the menstrual phase, the follicular phase, the ovulation phase, and the luteal phase. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, sex ed gives us a great disservice because it basically tells us, like, here's when you can get pregnant, here's when you need a tampon, and don't get pregnant. Like, that's like basically the information. But actually, our menstrual cycle, A, is not dirty. B, is not something to be ashamed about. C, is not only related to pregnancy. It is actually a superpower because each time of the month, we're hormonally poised to be a certain way. And that certain way is valuable and productive. In its own way. So we have a season that's like winter, which is our menstrual season. It's a beautiful time for rest and reflection. It's the time you have your deepest access to your intuition. We have the follicular phase, and that's the week after you have your period. That's like your springtime. It's an incredible time for new beginnings. It's a high energy time. It's a great time if you, in general, have trouble getting going on things to lean into beginning new projects. I know you and I don't have that problem. So I'm going to tell you what we need to lean on.
Yes, please.
And then you have your ovulation phase, which is the summertime of your cycle. It's your most fertile, literally, but it is also your most fertile energetically. So it's a great time to be social, to really listen in for who you feel called to reach out to. It's a time of cross-pollination and like creating connection and visibility. Mm. And then we have our luteal phase. And our luteal phase is the 10 to 12 days before we get our period. And it is the autumn of our cycle. So it's the time when our brains are the most detail-oriented. And it's an excellent time to close your office door and just check off all of the little ticky-tacky details that possibly for people like you and I, we struggle with during the rest of the month,
right?
Because
so
I'm
true.
Like, oh my God, if you ask me to sign a form or call Chase Bank, I'm going to freaking lose my mind, but I'll happily write you a book. It's just like, I cannot call customer service or return that thing to Target. I can do something else that's way bigger. So the luteal phase is the time, it's an inward time, and it's really, you have like workhorse energy to just kind of get the project across the finish line. Mm. And when you hear me talk about those four phases, what you realize is all four of them contain the essential ingredients to complete and birth anything, not just a human being. Because like when we translate this to pregnancy, we have four trimesters, right? Oh. We have the first trimester is very like inward, whatever. Second trimester is like, ooh,
yeah,
I'm feeling great. I mean, some people feel that way. I didn't, but...
Oh, not at all throughout the whole time?
No, it's terrible.
Oh, wow.
And then third trimester, you know, whatever, fourth trimester is like that autumn time. So you can translate it in all these different ways. So that's kind of like the basics.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to men's cycle.
Yes. Yeah, so a men's cycle, testosterone dominant people, their cycle is 24 hours.
Okay.
Estrogen dominant people, our cycle is 24 to 35 days long. That's normal, anywhere in that range. And so in a 24-hour cycle, you actually are going through those four energetic phases just in 24 hours. And it's more subtle. But like your testosterone heavier phase is 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. So that's the time to like get your workout in, have sex, have all your meetings, do all your work. Like, believe it or not. 6 a.m. to
morning
2 p.m.
Morning sex, guys.
Yes,
okay.
Totally. And I mean, that's, of course, everyone would have to test their own testosterone. I mean, that's like, I am doing a vast generalization right now.
Right.
But then, you know, men will often be like heading to the vending machine in the afternoon because they're in that dip, which is their autumn where it's like, I'm going inward and I'm having, you know, a whole insulin issue and whatever, which is very similar to when women are premenstrual. And then we go into evening again, which is that darker time, the evening time, the turning within, the winter cycle time. When really like men are sleeping.
And not supposed to be having sex at night, usually.
I mean, have sex whenever you want. It's good for you regardless of any time. But I'm just saying like the testosterone spike is usually between 6 a.m. and 2 p.m.
Got it. So that's probably the best time.
Yeah. And the more likely time to want to. For women as well, because all of us are governed by the sun and the moon. And the solar cycle, we are all well aware of this, the morning is like the springtime follicular energy. The midday time is like ovulation, summertime energy. And then afternoon, early evening is like luteal autumn. And then nighttime is like menstrual winter.
I love the way that you've kind of framed it and kind of created it. Such an easy framework for us to kind of take in. And so how have you now treated this in teaching this to thousands of women in being able to plan their months, their kind of like doing less, but actually doing more in the times that they can? Like, how can we use this now going forward in our relationships and our projects in our life?
Yes. Okay, great. So first of all, just knowing it exists changes everything.
I mean, yeah,
it really does.
Fully changing even the way that I'm relating to it. And I've been following you for a while, so yeah.
So when you start to realize this is happening, then you do start to see it everywhere, which is great. And so when I started realizing this, I was postpartum with my first daughter and I was hanging on by a thread.
Oh gosh.
It was awful. Mm-hmm. And so I will just say like I started learning about it. I don't know why, you know, I'm a big believer in curiosity, that curiosity, whatever we're curious about, is a golden thread for our work and for our destiny. So I was just like, all right, I'll just keep reading about this and learning about this. And when she was 13 months old, I got my period back. So it took a long time.
Wow.
So I was 13 months old, got my period back. And all of a sudden I was like, this is amazing. And so what I did is I started a simple journaling practice where every night I would just write down the day of my cycle that I was on, the phase I was in. So was it menstrual, follicular, ovulation, or luteal? The phase that the moon was in. Because I like adding a flavor of that.
Why not?
And then just how I felt. Like one sentence.
Okay.
I was energized. I was tired. I was pissed. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
And that journaling practice became the Do Less Planner, which is what I teach people with, how to really organize their entire life around their cycle so that they can be leaning into the things that they're poised and primed to do mm-hmm. during any given phase and leaning out of the things that they are not poised and primed to do, but scheduling those for when they are optimal. Mm. And also, far more important, just in general, like even if you don't ever track your cycle,
yeah,
just to ask yourself, what do I feel like doing today?
Mm.
And decide and know the truth that what your body is leaning towards is actually the best thing mm-hmm. because our body is incredibly wise. And so using your own body as your time and energy management system, as opposed to trying to override your physical signals, which is what we've been taught to do our entire lives.
Yes.
It really changes everything. And it allows you to have a lot more energy when you need it most.
I mean, this is so mind-blowing because I remember like vividly in high school, it would be 1 week a month where I would have to literally get wheeled out in a wheelchair just because my PMS was like so
intense.
Oh yeah. Starting in the eighth grade. It was crazy.
Like because of pain?
Yeah. Oh, I had, I had terrible cramps. And then it was almost like I was going into labor. Now looking back, you know, having been through labor, because I would get like these weird, going to the bathroom, mm-hmm. having to, you know, being nauseated, wanting to throw up. And I think, you know, looking back and kind of just, you know, even thinking around those, it was like the first 2 days mm-hmm. of the cycle were the worst, where I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so...
So hard.
Now you're giving us a... Thank you.
Yeah.
You're giving us a new way of like reframing
piece. If you're listening and you are struggling with debilitating symptoms, mm-hmm. just know that obviously there are a lot of health practitioners who can support in that. And I will say one thing that I notice, having worked with thousands of people around this, is that when they start to pay attention to their cycle and honor it, often their symptoms will shift.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's a cure. Mm-hmm. But being in relationship in a deeper way with anything or anyone in our lives and choosing to put our attention there and honor it creates healing.
Yeah, because I feel like the embracing it would probably have been so much different than just like resisting it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so interesting.
Hey, love, want to go deeper and behind the scenes with our mini trainings with some of our guests on the Brave Table? Then become an insider and get the inside scoop. It's absolutely free and you'll unlock private mini trainings that will help you be even more brave in your relationships as we go deeper in certain areas of your life. So become an insider today for free at neethabhushan.com/insiders. That's INSIDERS. And learn from the Vice documentary Shaft on pleasure, Dr. Kate Northrup on money blocks, Karen Rockland on speaking your truth, and Dr. Nisha Khanna on women's health, and so, so much more. And guess what? It's all free when you go to Neetha, that's N-E-E-T-A, Bhushan, BHUSHAN.com/insiders. Grab your inside scoop today. And now back to the show.
How has that now influenced the work that you teach around money shifts and beliefs around money?
Yeah.
Because so, that's the juice. And I know that's what a lot of women are going to be listening and taking away.
Money's such a good topic. It's just,
I mean, let's go.
Yeah. And it's so interesting with money because it's just like sex. Everyone kind of wants more of it or is supposed to want more of it, but we're not supposed to talk about it.
Yes.
So I love talking about money. And ultimately, it's the same thing because we're just talking about energy here. And we're talking about tuning more deeply into our energy source, which and our energy receivers, which are our bodies.
And how do you define energy?
Energy is life force to me. So it's like the animating force that makes it that we are alive right now and not dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, right. I mean, we don't really know what's going on here
right.
on Earth. But right. we do know that our bodies are made up of the same thing as the Earth.
Mm.
And there's some animating spark running through us right now that means we're alive, and that for all of us will go away, and that life force then transmutes into a different kind of energy. So that's what I mean by energy.
Yep.
Obviously there's like all of quantum physics and
we don't need to get into the particles and things like that.
That's
great.
All true and there and available if you want to learn about it. So when it comes to money, mm-hmm. I love connecting folks to the feeling in their bodies because all we ever want is to feel a certain way. And we think that we need a specific set of external circumstances to line up in order for us to feel that certain way. The truth actually is we can feel any way we want to feel right now. And that requires being masterful with our energetics and masterful with our emotions and knowing how to use our receivers for energy, which are our bodies, mm-hmm. and honor them to create those states that we want to create, which sort of ironically ends up being the most magnetic spot we can be in to attract more abundance into our lives.
Ooh, so good. And for so many of us, we are wanting more abundance in our lives. And I guess maybe what's an example of us to kind of tap into that
mm-hmm.
more?
Yeah. So think about, you know, a financial goal you may have, mm-hmm. whether it's paying off debt, whether it's a particular piece of real estate, a particular goal in business, whatever it is. And then, you know, simple exercise is just think about 5 senses vision, you know, okay, that has come to pass. What am I seeing? What am I feeling? Who am I with? What am I hearing? What am I tasting? You know, what's the temperature on my skin? All of those things. And then really giving yourself permission to just feel that good right now.
Oh, that's like, it. It's that easy.
I mean, is it easy? I don't know.
Well, I feel like a lot of
it is remarkably simple, though. Like, even just, I mean, what's like an example from my own life is just ultimately my desire is to feel relaxed and spacious.
Mm.
Relaxed and spacious. And so, when my 5-year-old wakes up in the morning and she wants to snuggle with me first thing every morning, mama snuggles, It's like, am I going to think about all the things I have to do and what time they have to leave for school and brush hair and uniforms and teeth and then, or am I going to just luxuriate in the fact that I have this sweet little baby girl who wants to sit on her mama's lap and probably she will be done in like 2 minutes and just her soft little cheeks and just that little bed head that looks like she put her finger in an electric outfit and the whole thing and just like the little feeling of oxytocin and snuggles and yum to just give ourselves permission to lean into all those feelings of yum throughout the day, which can do nothing other than essentially create a facsimile of themselves and create more feelings of yum or whatever the word is that works for you.
But and why do you think that we don't?
So many reasons. Number one is that culture has brainwashed us to believe that suffering buys us something. A lot of religious upbringing brings in this sense of shame and guilt and just original sin, that there's like something fundamentally that we are just flawed to begin with and that we need to make up for that through good works, through, there's another R word that I can't think of, but like...
it's like constantly having to prove,
I feel like. Constantly having to prove.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so that goes deep into religious indoctrination. Mm-hmm. And that also goes into our work culture, toxic capitalism, you know? It's like, let me show you what I can do and I'll show you how much I'm worth. Mm. And so that comes with this idea that if we have siphoned enough of our life force, if we have felt bad enough for long enough, then we get permission to finally feel good. But the problem is that when you live that way, you just end up dying without ever having let yourself live.
And it's almost even, you know, what you just shared with you and your husband going through this. Like, we're going to delay.
Similar, good pickup.
We're going to delay. I mean, yeah. I like a good comedic comeback.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, it is that feeling of like, okay, this is happening. Am I going to let it delay my life? Yeah. Or am I just going to live now and just see what can we find? Where are the joys? What yumminess can we find in this hospital bed? Mm-hmm. Where can we find the glimmers of laughter, you know, in whatever scenario we find, in up to our eyeballs in debt, in, you know, living in a situation we don't want to live in, whatever. And that's not to say, I just want to be clear, that is not to say if someone's listening and they're in a situation that is abusive, that is unsafe, that is like really not okay for a variety of reasons, this does not negate getting ourselves out of scenarios that aren't good. Of course, we wouldn't be like, oh, let's just stay
let's pretend everything's
scenario
gonna be okay
for as long as possible. Both can be true at the same time. Like, we can be actively taking steps to change our lives while also savoring and enjoying all the moments along the way.
And I mean, because you're right, you gave us this tool, which, by the way, I feel like we need to go a little bit deeper on that after the episode. But you're right, so many times either we're judging ourselves or we're judging that it is not available for us or that it isn't as easy access as you're creating it and seemingly allowing it to be. But I mean, it's so simple, yet we don't practice that.
Okay. So here's what's really important. I love to read memoirs of famous people.
Oh,
or non-famous people.
Which ones are your favorite?
So I'm almost done with Alicia Keys right now. Uh-huh. I just read Paris Hilton's memoir. Fascinating.
Yeah. I'll add that one to my list.
Next up is Viola Davis.
It's deep.
So, I mean, it's so many. And what we find when we get behind the scenes with various folks is we have, again, like, our culture is this weird hall of mirrors, holographic situation where we assume that once people have a certain amount of money, that they no longer have problems. And we sort of assume that once we get to a certain level of abundance, that we too will no longer have problems. But it's really important to realize that being human is tricky, and no amount of money helps you avoid the trickiness of being human. Ever. And so the invitation is like, okay, knowing that, sure, I can have all the abundance I want to have. Like, everybody gets to have what they want. There's no reason you can't. And also, it's not going to solve your problems.
Right.
So how can you train yourself or excavate and learn how to feel good now because then when you learn to feel good now, you also will still have that skill set when you have more money. Mm-hmm. And it does help to attract more money when you feel good, because you know, in a pitch meeting, on an Instagram live, on a webinar, on a whoozy, whatever, like if you're feeling good, you're just more magnetic. It just works that way.
And you're going to attract more and more and more and more of the juiciness in your life.
Yes.
As a byproduct.
Yes.
I mean, and Kate, you make it look so freaking easy. Because look at you. She's radiating over here. And so, all right. So I'm listening to this. I'm in my car. I'm walking my dog. I've done the drop off. What is my first step that I can do today?
I mean, if you've just done the drop off, like just congratulate yourself because you just managed to get a tiny human out of the house and you are both still alive. And now you have your freedom for a hot minute. So
enjoy.
Just say, enjoy that. And that's really it. Mm. How good can we give ourselves permission to feel? And I like having, I have a spot for it at the back of the Do Less Planner, a bliss list.
Oh,
because we
that.
Are programmed, again, to think that a certain amount of suffering is going to buy us something. Mm-hmm. So we think that our path to salvation is checking off items on a to-do list, climbing a corporate ladder, earning a specific amount of money, having a specific house, having a certain number of children, wearing the right clothes, having the right... And all those things are fine. You get to have all of those things as long as you know they're not the main ingredient. They're just accessories. And so the bliss list is like your go-to of, okay, I know that when I do these things, I get access to a feeling that feels good. And there will be resistance. There will be resistance to going to your bliss list. And instead, you will be like, no. I need to go to the gym and work harder, which again, like totally great.
Yeah,
absolutely. We need to sweat. We need vertical vectors of force for our bone density. I mean, there's like so many reasons to do that. But just look at the number of times throughout the day that you turn towards something that is painful or hard because you have an unconscious idea that if you do that for long enough, eventually you will get to feel good later. How much are we delaying our joy every day? Mm-hmm. And here's what's important to know about the nervous system. Our nervous systems are wired to keep us in the familiar because they are here to keep us alive. Our nervous systems are brilliant and beautiful and we love them. And they have a thermostat setting for how good we can allow ourselves to feel. And that thermostat mm-hmm. is set by the age of 7, more or less, right?
When we're cooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so our early childhood experiences and essentially like the energetic soup that we were raised in will set our thermostat setting. And when we have a life situation or scenario, even when it's good, that puts us above that thermostat setting for the amount of joy, bliss, abundance, whatever that we have experienced, our nervous system will do something to bring us back down below the thermostat setting. Mm-hmm. Very similar to if you have your house set on 72 and it gets to be 75, the AC turns on
yep.
and it brings it back down. So unconsciously, mm-hmm. our internal AC turns on or heat or whatever to bring us back. And that is because our nervous system thinks that anything outside what is familiar is unsafe. Mm-hmm. And so the name of the game is actually to learn how to signal safety in our bodies so that when we're up at the edge of discomfort and when we're up at the edge where we're like, because what happens is, I'll never forget, when I got my book deal for Money, a Love Story, I was sitting in this cafe in New York and I was in tears. My girlfriend came to meet me and she was like, how are you doing? This is so exciting. What a big deal. And I was like, I felt like shit. And I just was like devastated. I had this profound guilt. I was like, so many other people want this. I don't deserve this. Like, I mean, I was spiraling and I felt awful. So here I am having this like peak career moment, my first ever book deal signed.
Oh my gosh.
Louise Hay herself has looked me in the eye and said, like, I'm so excited to publish your work. And I'm in the depths of despair. Okay, why? Because I was up against the edge of my level of my thermostat for how much good my nervous system felt safe to experience. And so in those moments, we don't need to talk ourselves out of our feelings. We need to signal safety in our bodies. Great news is that The things that are on our bliss list are frequently regulating for the nervous system as well.
Oof.
And so you just have to know you're going to feel resistance and you're going to be like, no, I actually need to get all my work done.
And
not
then I
spend
can do this.
3 minutes on my bliss list. And I'm going to tell you, you have the 3 minutes. And when we learn to feel safe in our bodies first and then expand our capacity to feel good, we get a lot more done. And we don't have to even do all the things we thought we needed to do because we become so much more magnetic and effective.
In the process.
In the process. Yeah. And powerful.
And all right, Brave Table fam, this is your exercise. Get on that bliss list.
Yeah.
I mean, create it. And I know that we're obviously going to link in the show notes the Do Less Planner because that's a must. That is a must for anybody that is wanting to learn more about how to regulate their system, mm-hmm. as well as plan the 80-20. And actually,
yes.
in real time, though.
And it does come with a companion whole video tutorial on how to use
Good.
The 80-20. So I'm very practical and I want to make sure people actually know how to implement things. It's one thing to talk about it in theory. It's another thing to be able to actually put it in your calendar, have a list, and know what you're doing.
Well, and I feel like you are one of the few queens that I know that like does this really good job of like the 5D, the 3D, and like, you know, being able to ground, but also actually create this vision for yourself that maybe you don't need all the other fluff along the way. You do that really well.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
And I know you have a freebie for our audience as well.
I do. Yeah. So one of the things that's fascinating about the nervous system also is that we do something called co-regulation. And, you know, this is probably not news for your audience, but just to explain it again.
Oh, they love it.
How it works is each of us, you know, has our thermostat setting of our nervous system. And the most relaxed person in the room or the most regulated person in the room, which doesn't necessarily mean they're relaxed, but the most regulated person in the room sort of has the alpha nervous system. And we will tend to co-regulate with the most regulated person, which is why it feels so good to be around people who are relatively calm.
Yeah.
Although I will just say if your thermostat is set to chaos, it actually won't feel good to be around calm people. So that's like maybe a different conversation. But for the purposes of the question that you asked me, that takes some time of healing.
Totally. But
one of my favorite leapfrog techniques to like cut through a lot of the excess work and time is to get around people who have already created the results that I want mm-hmm. because they are living proof that it's possible. Mm. And if I can't be with them in person, just reading their memoirs or listening to them on podcasts or reading about their process really helps me to kind of co-regulate on an energetic level mm-hmm. and feel the living proof in my body that what I want is possible. So I went and I interviewed a large-ish group, like about 25 of the high earning women I know. So like the 7 and 8 figure women. And I asked them, what was the biggest money breakthrough you ever experienced? And then we took their answers into bite-sized pieces and created this beautiful guide so that we could deliver the kind of information that honestly, sometimes my friends really only share with me behind closed doors, but with their permission, I said, I want to give this access to more people so that they can speed up their rate of creating the kind of financial results they want.
Oh my gosh.
So that's what that is, the Money Breakthrough Guide.
I love the Money Breakthrough Guide. Okay, you guys are going to be in for a treat and basically you get it. We'll link it in the show notes as well. Okay, as we get into our igniting round, what does it mean to be brave at this stage?
So to be brave at this stage for me is to open up wider and wider on an energetic level to let as much life force that wants to come through me, come through me. So that might mean like in my writing, in pleasure, in, you know, snuggles with my kids, in creativity, in business, in abundance, whatever wants to come through to just like let myself be a conduit for it in bigger ways.
And without stopping it.
Without stopping it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like less clamped down.
Right.
More opening.
Less constriction, more
Very
expansion.
Very similar to birth.
Yes.
But in my experience, feels a little better.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is hard to open up, even when it feels good.
That's so true.
Yeah.
So. That is so true. Mm-hmm. So true.
So it requires bravery.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. And okay, since the conversation cards are right there, you get to pick one.
I love that.
And we get to dive in.
Okay.
All right.
Do I have to pick the first one?
No, you can shuffle. Pick, yeah, shuffle them up. Right,
I love,
she goes.
Love. Okay. Ooh, your awareness, likes and dislikes. What's something you catch yourself saying often that you want to remove from your vocabulary? Ooh, so now I should answer it.
Sure.
Okay, you're not going to answer it? Okay. What's something I catch myself often that I want to remove from my vocabulary? I will say, like, you know, given my line of work, this is something I comb through frequently. But I'll say with my kids, you know,
yeah.
It is so easy as a mom to go into no and like what I don't want them to do.
Yeah.
So I would say just in general, whether it's that they're jumping on the couch or, you know, my one daughter is sucking on her hair all the time right now.
Oh, gosh.
Just like what I want them to do instead of what I don't want them to do, and just switching that languaging. And I think that we can do that with ourselves as well. So, you know, hey, walking feet inside the house. Hold my hand. I'm here to keep you safe. If you want to jump, jump on the trampoline. You know, so really encouraging what I would like to direct them towards.
Right. No, I mean, huge. Oh, that's so huge.
Oh, it's hard.
But
when I do it, it feels good to everyone. And it's harder.
Yes.
Sort of. It requires a little more focus because it's not the default setting.
And your re-regulation
feels
first.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do kind of have to be regulated first.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're not.
In order to interrupt the automatic.
No!
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's great practice. And okay, one final question. What word describes the season of life?
Expansive.
Kate, this was so fun. You are just magnetic in so many ways. I'm so glad we got to sit together. The Brave Table, where can we find you and learn more and literally learn from all the money breakthroughs that you're offering?
Yes, absolutely. So come connect with me on Instagram at Kate Northrup. Send me a little message, say that you listened in, and head over to katenorthrup.com. That's where all the stuff that I'm doing can be found.
Well, until next time on The Brave Table. All right, fam, if you love this episode, which I knew you were just going to fall in love with Kate, you can go ahead and follow her at katenorthrup.com. She is also at Kate Northrup on IG. I'm going to link her book in the show notes, as well as you can actually get Do Less on Amazon or wherever books are sold, and hop on her new podcast, Plenty. I guarantee you will absolutely love all of the things she talks about. She just has a way of speaking, and she's so bubbly and so fun. And she has so many of these challenges that she does as well. So if this episode resonates with you, go ahead, share this with a friend, a colleague, a bestie that can definitely do less in their life, because you all know we need that permission. And I'm giving you that permission today. If you haven't already shared us or followed us on The Brave Table or even Neetha Bhushan, let us know what your favorite parts were. And if you haven't already given us a 5-star review, what are you waiting for? We are giving away free books this month, and that has not stopped. So if you're in the US, if you haven't already gotten my 5-time award-winning book, you can get it for free. All you have to do is submit your screenshot of your 5-star review to support@globalgrit.co. That is support@globalgrit.co. And I will see you soon. Don't forget to be just a little bit more brave.